Hey, y'all, and welcome to Southern Fried Spooky, the podcast home of all things Southern Spooky, and this week, Criminally Crustacean.
Yeah.
I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
We'd like to invite you to our virtual circus tent where you can smell the popcorn and hear the calls of the barker, which means come find us on Facebook and leave us some comments.
Ah, smell that virtual popcorn.
And leave us some 5-star reviews on your podcast platform of choice.
Ooh, they have virtual cotton candy.
So as you may know, freak shows kind of fascinate me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm familiar with a lot of the vintage freaks and enjoyed watching The Greatest Showman. And
which was not true, or not the way it happened at all, but still.
No, most people don't burst out in song randomly, unless they're musical theater students. Anyway,
And Phineas, and he did not look like Hugh Jackman.
Oh, no, alas. But I enjoyed watching the movie and matching up the background freaks to the real life people that they were based on. And as an artist, you might appreciate this. I love the art of the old sideshow painted posters.
Oh, the painted, like, wooden,
the giant,
like,
banners.
Wall hanger, yeah.
And I even vaguely remember going to the state fair back when I was a young kid, and they still had them. The, like, open everywhere sideshows. Now they're, I think, just Coney Island.
Yeah.
And it's people have sort of made themselves into freaks, like the mini tattoos or piercings and very odd performances.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not opposed to, but...
Well, no, and we've really only covered one case in which they had anything to do with P.T. Barnum, which was...
True.
The Bunker Brothers.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, this week, we'll be talking about a man who was famous for several reasons, and most of them were not good.
Well, now, keep in mind... From what I understand, most people of disability who do this, I don't know, what is the correct PC term for this?
I'm not sure, but the phrase I've heard recently was differently abled.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, the circus...
Performers?
Yeah, like, the performers.
I don't,
like,
think they really have a correct term anymore.
Oh, well, from what I understand...
The vintage freak show.
Yeah, the majority of them are very nice, very polite, very family-oriented.
Frequently.
This person... is a little different.
He was obviously one of the, quote, differently abled people who put themselves on display in carnivals or circuses. The freak show, as it was, has long been called.
Yeah.
He also openly committed a murder.
Yep.
And ended up being killed himself.
Yep.
So put on the bisque and take a seat, because we're talking about the Lobster Boy.
Really? Bisque? Bisque?
Totally.
Okay. Well.
Grady Franklin Stiles Jr. I'm sorry, what?
Who writes your jokes?
I do.
Okay.
I don't send out for these. These are all me. So Grady Franklin Stiles Jr., he was born in June of 1937. Died, well, 2 days after my birthday. November 29th, but 1992. I was born much before that.
Oh, well, as a note, people, whoever is listening to this, we are recording this at 11 o'clock at night, the night before we're leaving for Disney. We're kind of both very tired and very wired at the same time.
That's probably about as much fun as when we've been watching, like, several hours of Randy Filtface.
Yeah. You don't name your kid Brayden.
His deformity was a genetic condition called ectrodactyly, or more colloquially, lobster claw syndrome.
And actually, it was like monster digits, monster...
The word itself translates to monstrous fingers.
Okay, yeah, there.
This condition makes... Basically, it's the fingers are sort of divided in the middle and fused into one, so you have two giant fingers instead of multiples.
Yep.
And apparently someone thought this looks like lobster claws, though I tend to think of pinchy.
Yeah. I pinch.
Stiles performed under the name Lobster Boy.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of American Horror Story, especially the earlier ones, and saw the Freak Show season, Evan Peters played a character with this same deformity.
Yeah.
Though the character's father, he had normal hands, but more of the original... Lobster Boy's temperament.
Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Lobster Boy. He would bellow to the stunned crowd as he sat atop of a cushion, showing off his pincer-like hands, and it also his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And as he grew older, he remained unfazed by the gawking and the taunting. His father before him was a freak show performer, and it was the only life that he knew.
Also, his father had the same thing, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, like his father was also...
I'm about to get into this. Yeah. Hold that thought for a second.
Okay.
So, Styles was obviously not able to walk properly. By properly, I mean the way most of us do.
Yeah.
He had a wheelchair, but he was also able to scrabble along on his hands.
Yeah.
So he became very, very strong.
Well, yeah.
Rattling paper.
As we will hear in a second.
That with the strength combined with his bad temper and alcoholism would contribute to a homicidal rage,
mm-hmm,
and made him rather dangerous to, well, everybody around him.
Yep.
Now, as you mentioned, the Styles family had a long history of ectrodactyly dating back to 1840.
Okay.
Now, depending on the source, because I have read that Junior was either the fourth or the sixth generation with the condition, and he was the fourth child of Grady Styles Sr. and his wife, Edna. Sr. was a sideshow attraction in a traveling carnival, and when Junior was born, he was mixed right into the sideshow and joined the act actively at the age of 7.
Now, I wonder if Dad had the same temperament that Son had.
It is not noted.
Yeah.
I'm given to believe that Junior here was just special.
Mm.
I think if the father had been anywhere as bad, it might have come up as a, well, that seems familiar.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, now, we have a hard time with this today, because back then, people who were, quote, differently abled, they could make really good money at this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the more modern, politically correct age, it was seen like, well, we shouldn't treat people as, you know, exploited exhibits. But frequently, that was the thing they could do. So, you know, there was, you know, sort of good and bad with that, I suppose. The family itself did really well. They made anywhere between $50,000 to $80,000 per season in the 1940s. And they didn't really have to subject themselves to too much other than just being stared at.
Okay, so the upper end of that, the $80,000
uh-huh
a year, $1,752,834.29.
Approximately.
Yeah, so almost $2 million a year.
For, I mean, I guess it's sort of like the Ren Fair circuit. They have a season and
yeah
then an off season. Not bad.
Yeah.
Styles somehow married twice, I think technically three times.
Yep.
And had four children, two of which also had ectrodactyly.
Okay.
Okay, Grady's first wife, her name was Mary Teresa.
She sounds like a nun.
I knew you would say that.
Yep.
Now, she wasn't
but
part of an
act. But
it's
none of my business.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, what were you just saying?
You have a habit of interrupting, don't
I
you?
Do. You said she was a part of an act. Was
she
it
was
a,
not part of an act.
Was it a sister act?
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I have to kill him.
Ow!
Well.
So she was just a staff member.
She was.
Okay.
She ran away with the circus and found herself a job where she was just, like, ticket booth or something.
Which, apparently, you can still do nowadays.
Isn't that cool?
That is kind of cool.
Of course, in my circles, it's, you know, run away with the Ren Fair, but, you
yeah
know, whatever.
I once knew a girl who ran away with the circus. And no one knows where she went. Her name was Erin, and she just, gone.
I remember you telling me about
yeah
her. Anyway,
yeah,
his wife, the nunly named Mary Teresa,
yep,
she fell in love with Styles, so I guess he could be charming at one point, and they got married.
In nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sancti.
Please don't get us in trouble. Together, they had three children,
mm-hmm,
and like his father before him, introduced the children with ectrodactyly, Kathy and Grady III, to the family business. Youngest daughter Donna did not have the condition, but he brought them all along to perform as the Lobster Family, in which they portrayed themselves as a loving family with one slight difference. The benevolent family act that Grady put on couldn't have been further from the truth, however.
Mm.
He became abusive
yeah
to his wife and children. He abused them physically and mentally. They were beaten, they were headbutted. They were choked.
They were pinched. I remember reading about that. Like he could pinch hard enough to break skin.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, this one makes my eyes water. Allegedly, at one point, he used his interesting little claws to rip out his wife's IUD during a fight.
Does anybody know what an IUD is? Because if you do, you'll know the ouch factor in this.
And if you don't, look it up with some care.
Yeah.
It would be very invasive and fairly painful.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that was an exaggeration, because I've also read where he attempted to do it, so I don't know if he actually did it or not, but... and, of course, he would choke her, because that was easy.
Yeah.
So, of course, big surprise, she left him to marry Harry Glenn Newman, a little person who is billed as the smallest man in the world.
Oh, him!
I'm guessing maybe she wanted a man who was as unthreatening as possible.
Oh, like, I had seen things with him, and he was, like, the sweetest guy in the world. Do you have to eat ice on air?
I do. You have to edit it anyway. When not traveling with the carnival, the Stiles family lived in Gibsonton, Florida.
Oh, okay.
So. Now, I would love to cover this place sometime.
Yeah.
This is the famous little town where many carnival performers would live during the winter season and often retired there when they decided they were done performing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that it exists anymore, but for a while it was nothing but sideshow freaks.
I think it's still there.
Really?
I think there's a small town still there.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the carny haven that it was, though.
No, but did you know that a lot of people who go on Rumspringa actually go to Florida?
I did not know that.
Yep. They actually go to a place in the panhandle.
Is that like the designated place for...
I guess so.
Now, do you need to tell people what Rumspringa is?
Well, Rumspringa is when Amish people get to decide whether they're going to stay in the Amish community or leave.
So they get what? A year? Like a gap year?
I think that depends on what part of the Amish community you come from. If you hadn't guessed, people, I actually lived with an Amish community for a couple of years. And
he was not Amish. I was not Amish there.
Not in any way.
No, but you got to know them. Mm-hmm. But yes, that is the time when they get to go and actually live as one of us and be kind of wild and crazy for a little while.
Shout out to Cindy if you're listening. Love you!
Yay! Anyway, that's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. We may have to cover that too sometime. Yep. But, in 1978, the Stiles family was in Pittsburgh, which I think is where Grady was actually born.
Mm.
Pennsylvania, of course. 15-year-old Donna decided that she wanted to escape the cruel household. She felt trapped. She believed the only way she could ever escape at this time of era... I can't talk. It's too late for me. Was if she was married.
Yeah.
At 15... Wow, girl.
And this is the 40s.
Well, no, it's the 70s. Almost the 80s.
70s is a little late for that.
Maybe she was desperate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So she started a romance with 18-year-old Jack Lane, who lived nearby. They soon became engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the day before his daughter and Jack were slated to be married, Stiles confronted Lane and told him, "I will kill you before you marry my daughter." He underlined this by shooting him twice.
Wow.
And Lane died in Teresa's arms. "Told you I'd kill him," Grady jibed at his distraught teenage daughter.
Now, yeah, so this guy's a douchebag. Go.
Now, obviously, Stiles was brought to trial, and he openly confessed to killing the man. He was convicted of third-degree murder.
Third-degree murder? What is...
I mean, he had no remorse... But he pointed out that he couldn't possibly be imprisoned because no jail could handle his disability, and to confine him to prison would be cruel and unusual punishment.
That's weird.
He also, by this time, had acquired cirrhosis of the liver from drinking and emphysema from years of cigarettes. So he was sentenced instead to house arrest and 15 years probation.
Oh, yeah. The definition of third-degree murder can vary by state, but the uniform definition of third-degree murder occurs when there is no prior intent to kill. The murder was not intentional and occurred with malice, but not premeditated. So, manslaughter.
Sounds to me like he had it in his mind all along. Yeah. I don't know. Now, Lobster Boy had, by this time, divorced his first wife, remarried another woman, and had more children.
Yeah.
And he proceeded to subject them to his drunken rampages, and eventually second wife also divorced him. I'm sorry it didn't mention what her what the second wife's name was.
Well, we'll just refer to her as second wife.
Works for me.
Like Sally second wife or something.
Well, Styles managed to stop drinking for a total of 2 whole weeks.
Wow.
And
way to hang in there on that wagon, buddy.
Right? It was like a little radio flyer at that.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, inexplicably, he managed to remarry his first wife.
You mean Sister Mary Clarence?
No, Mary Teresa.
Mary Teresa, yeah.
In 1989. I don't know why she was no longer with the small man.
Yeah.
I don't know what on earth convinced her to go back to him. I mean, I wouldn't have. But whatever the case, again, once he started drinking again, I'm sure you're familiar with this, his family claimed that he became even more abusive.
Of course.
On one occasion, Grady beat Kathy, who had attempted to stop him from abusing her mother. Kathy was 7 months pregnant at the time. She had to be rushed to the hospital for an emergency C-section.
Oof.
By the way, Kathy's daughter Misty was also born with ectrodactyly. So whatever generation was,
like 6th or 8th now?
Yeah, so yet another one. Now, escaping prison, well, not escaping really, but avoiding it, rather, had made Lobster Boy kind of cocky, because he reportedly told others he could kill them and get away with it since he already had. Thus, the beatings became more severe, and his wife had finally reached her breaking point.
Yeah, I would have tied him to a bed and set the house on fire, but that's just me.
In 1992, Teresa, together with her son from
A
previous marriage.
Yeah.
Harry Glenn Newman Jr. They allegedly hired a 17-year-old sideshow performer named Chris Wyant to kill Styles for the princely sum of $1,500. As Styles smoked a cigarette, good for his health, while watching TV in his underpants on the sofa, Wyant entered his home with a
32, wow.
With a 32 Colt automatic and shot him in the head twice.
That'll do it.
Yep.
Now, that's definitely pushing the off button.
I know it's rude to laugh, but, you know, he sounded horrible.
Yeah.
Styles was reportedly widely disliked in his community.
Yep.
So much so that only 10 people came to his funeral, and nobody volunteered to be a pallbearer to carry his coffin.
Wow.
If you're curious, he's buried in the Showman Rest Cemetery in Tampa, Florida.
That is crazy.
I am thinking of the, having just come off of Christmas, all the Christmas Carol scenes where everyone's talking about, you know, the glee of going to Scrooge's funeral.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of seeing that here. Like, they're all kind of just of the mind of, I don't really want to go to the funeral, but I just want to make sure he's dead.
Yeah. I still say there needs to be a Christmas Story movie that is a horror. And I mean, like, the way it was originally meant, to scare him straight, not just to show him the error of his ways.
Well, we could get back into Christmas discussions, but I think it was just his ghost story. I don't know if I'd push it to horror.
Oh, he was scared pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you were just reading it, Jacob Marley was a scary-looking ghost. Covered in chains and hatchet, or and like bandages, and like, I mean, he was a messed up ghost.
I kind of think that my favorite version of the Jacob Marley character was actually in Scrooge.
Oh, he looked corpse-like. The boss who was the corpse? Yeah, definitely.
With the golf club and the mice?
Yep. Okay, so we have gotten off on a tangent.
We have. We do that.
Yeah. Okay, so whoever's listening, we need to make a Christmas Story movie that's a horror. Okay. And back to you.
Back to our original train of thought.
Yep.
Not one of the family denied that they had intended to kill Grady Styles. During the trial, his wife spoke at length of his abusive history. "My husband was going to kill my family," she told the court. "I believe that from the bottom of my heart." I saw that quote in multiple sources, so
yeah.
Apparently a lot of people think she said it. And Mary had a profusion of witnesses to confirm her claims, including the couple's children, who relayed their horrific upbringing and abuse that the family had endured over the years. And one carnival worker, unnamed, said he was a disabled man, but that did not prevent him from doing some of the things that other men do. I'm not exactly sure to what he was referring, but there was plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
On one afternoon in court, Grady's son, who had the same deformities, scooted across the floor to show them, quote, my dad wasn't a helpless invalid, end quote, like the prosecution had attempted to paint him. Styles' son, Grady Styles III, who did the demo, disputes the claim that Mary Teresa had him murdered. According to him, his mother, Mary Teresa, the saintly, and father were arguing, and she said, something needs to be done. Teresa's son overheard this and went to a neighbor and repeated the words, and somehow or other, somebody decided to kill him.
Okay.
And at least one of the other children, Kathy, testified against him as well.
How do you... I don't see how you would justify testing against someone posthumously, I guess you could say.
Well, it wasn't so much testifying against him, but I suppose testifying against him so in support of their mother's argument.
So what you're saying is he's like a character... or they were character witness posthumously.
Yeah. Both for him and for their mother.
Yeah.
However, the jury convicted Wyant of second-degree murder and sentenced him to 27 years, which he served in the Florida Department of Corrections and was released in 2009. They charged Teresa, the wife, and her son Glenn with first-degree murder.
Premeditated.
She served 12 years and was released in 2000. She unsuccessfully appealed her conviction, but had to start her sentence in 97. She had tried to get Glenn to take a plea bargain, but he refused. So Harry Glenn Newman was sentenced to life in prison for first-degree premeditated murder.
Wow.
He died in prison in 2014.
Damn.
I'm not a fan of my dad as a person, Styles III said in 2014. My father was racist and abusive. When I cried, he was like, I'll give you a reason to cry. And Kathy would later refer to her father as Satan himself.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say I was an 80s child.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have heard that.
I've heard that line before. It has been said to me.
Yes.
But mainly it was just spanking on the butt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most of us didn't have it quite this bad.
And, you know, we had to go out and pick our own switch.
See, I'm rather glad my mother almost never spanked me, unless I did something really egregious, and even then she wasn't great at it. I got yelled at a lot.
I can only think of two or three times I got spanked, really. But I learned from that crap.
I bet so. Yeah, our Gen X is showing, isn't it? Some in the carnival community confirmed that he was an ill-tempered man and would go as far as to compare him to Satan. Others revere him as a smart businessman who went from appearing in sideshows to owning them.
Yeah.
Which is not to say he can't be a smart business person and still a crap person.
No. Look at P.T. Barnum.
These people contend that Mary should simply have walked away, which is, again, why did she come back in the first place?
Right.
I mean, no judgment, I guess, but really, but why?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we know we're tired, but... Well, y'all, we've come to the end of another freaky, murderous episode.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what you think. Leave us some likes and 5-star reviews if you feel so inclined. And in the meantime, I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
And we are...
Southern Fried Spooky.
Until next week...
Bye, y'all. You know, technically it won't be next week.
We'll be in Disney.
We will. Yeah, so you can listen to the episode while we're riding the Haunted Mansion.
Woo!